The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, September 9th through Sunday, September 15th, 2024. The commentary for September was written by Colleen Thomas, a spiritual director and longtime practitioner of centering prayer. She delights in companioning others on their spiritual journey, leading contemplative prayer groups and spiritual workshops and retreats. You can learn more about her ministry at soulcarela.com. That's soulcarela.com. The commentary for Monday, September 9th, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 29. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. Here's the commentary. Accusations abound in today's readings. In true form, the psalmist's lament and Job's saga continues. A young man named Elihu has silently awaited his opportunity to speak amongst elders. When he speaks at last, he does so with a conviction that he also carries wisdom. To be self-assured is not to be self-righteous. I wrestled for many years to embrace this. It's taken encouragement from others to acknowledge my strengths and gifts and act in accordance with who God is calling me to be. I believe this pleases God. Like Paul and Barnabas and the other disciples who were driven out of Cyprus by accusations and envy, gossip and insecurity, we too can be filled with joy and the Holy Spirit when we know with assurance who it is we serve. And now I'm going to read from the full gospel passage for this Monday from John chapter 10, verses 19 through 30. Again, the Jews were divided because of these words. Many of them were saying, "He has a demon and is out of his mind. Why listen to him?" Others were saying, "These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." And the moving forward question for this Monday is, do you exude self-righteousness or self-assurance? What's the difference? The commentary for Tuesday, September 10th, begins with a passage from Psalm 45, verse 18a. "I will make your name to be remembered from one generation to another." Today, the Church recognizes the life and work of Alexander Crummell, which the Union of Black Episcopalians recognizes each year with special services and liturgies. Born in 1819 in New York City, Crummell never knew what it was to be enslaved, even though emancipation wouldn't come for nearly 50 years. His mother was a free woman and active in the abolitionist movement. Perhaps this is why Alexander Crummell was able to live and act with agency in a world tainted by the criminal injustice of the race-based slavery. His academic studies led him to Queen's College, Cambridge, where he was recorded as the first black graduate. Ordained an Episcopal priest at the age of 25, he influenced religious life and culture in Liberia, and in 1875 founded St. Luke's Episcopal Church, the first independent black Episcopal church in Washington, D.C. May his life inspire us all to be instruments of possibility in this world. And now I'm going to read from Psalm 45. My heart overflows with a goodly theme. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is like the pen of a ready scribe. You are the most handsome of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword on your thigh, O mighty one, in your glory and majesty. In your majesty ride on victoriously for the cause of truth and to defend the right. Let your right hand teach you dread deeds. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall under you. Your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. Your royal scepter is a scepter of equity. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. Your robes are all fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. From ivory palaces, stringed instruments make you glad. Daughters of kings are among your ladies of honor. At your right hand stands the queen in gold of Ophir. Hear, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your people and your father's house, and the king will desire your beauty. Since he is your Lord, bow to him. The people of Tyre will seek your favor with gifts, the richest of the people, with all kinds of wealth. The princess is decked in her chamber with gold-woven robes. In many colored robes she is led to the king. Behind her the virgins, her companions, follow. With joy and gladness they are led along as they enter the palace of the king. In the place of ancestors, you, O king, shall have sons. You will make them princes in all the earth. I will cause your name to be celebrated in all generations. Therefore, the peoples will praise you forever and ever. And the moving forward suggestion and question today is, do some more research about the life of Alexander Crummell. What lessons can you learn from his ministry? The commentary for Wednesday, September 11th begins with a passage from Acts 14, verse 22a. There they strengthened the souls of the disciples and encouraged them to continue in the faith. Sometimes I find myself beyond encouragement. God can seem so absent, and when I am in this state, faith is elusive. But today's readings invite me to consider whether it's always necessary to have faith to see God's power and glory revealed in our darkest moments. Lazarus was dead when Jesus raised him to life, so he wasn't exactly participating in his own healing. Yes, God desires, and maybe in some circumstances requires, our faith to respond to our needs. But God is also bigger than our faith, and thank God for this. When we are surrounded by death and darkness, trial and suffering, it just might be enough to pray, God, I cannot see my way out. I cannot be my own light. Can you be the light I need? Now I'm going to read from the full passage of Acts chapter 14, verses 19 through 28. But Jews came there from Antioch and Iconium and won over the crowds. Then they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples surrounded him, they got up and went into the city. The next day he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. After they had proclaimed the good news to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, then on to Iconium and Antioch. There they strengthened the souls of the disciples and encouraged them to continue in the faith, saying, "It is through many persecutions that we must enter the kingdom of God." And after they had appointed elders for them in each church, with prayer and fasting they entrusted them to the Lord in whom they had come to believe. Then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. When they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had completed. When they arrived, they called the church together and related all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith for the Gentiles. And they stayed there with the disciples for some time. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, do you need God to be the light? Do you know someone who needs you to be the light of God in their life? The commentary for Thursday, September 12th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 22. I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Martha expresses a profound, wondrous faith in Jesus. And yet I wonder if even Martha could have imagined how Jesus would act. Bringing Lazarus back to life is a miracle that defies expectations. Sometimes I wish I was more like Martha, willing to trust Jesus with big asks. But I hesitate, worry that my request is too big or too bold. As a self-starter and a doer, I value my independence, and asking for help can seem like failing. But then I read this passage about Jesus and how he took Martha's request, turned toward his Father, and asked for the impossible. What a lesson! Nothing is too big for God, even when it feels too big for me. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage for today, which is from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 17 through 29. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. The moving forward question for this Thursday, what big asks do you have in your heart? Are you ready to share those with God and to see what might happen? Now let's turn to the commentary for Friday, September 13th. It begins with a passage also from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 32b. Lord, if you had been here, both sisters, Martha, then Mary, greet Jesus with the same lament. Lord, if you had been here. Engulfed in their grief, they hold Jesus accountable for the death of their brother Lazarus. Out of the reality of their lived experience with Jesus, they are convinced things would have been different if only Jesus had been there. Where were you, God? Despite my belief that God is present, even in the dark moments, it's harder to see without a light. And my first instinct is to look for someone or something to blame. I lost this job because my boss. My relationship ended because they did. I'm in debt because this economy. Taking responsibility for our actions requires honesty and courage. Holding ourselves accountable for the choices we make hinges on an intimate prayer life and the understanding that nothing we do can separate us from the love of God. Only in this place of intimacy with God can we take responsibility for our actions and trust that God is bigger than our mistakes. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage from John for today, John chapter 11, verses 30 through 44. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. The moving forward question for today is, when have you been like Martha and Mary, bemoaning God's absence? What prayer practices might help you trust in God? Now let's turn to the commentary for Saturday, September 14th. This is the day that we celebrate Holy Cross Day. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 32, And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. We are naturally drawn to the light. And it's not just people who are attracted to light, but certain insects and plants, too. I recently bought a new plant at a farmer's market. She's a Maranta Licanura, a native of Brazilian rainforests. I brought the plant home, potted her, and placed her in an ideal spot. Seeing her leaves lift and tilt toward the light streaming through the window brings me great joy. Interestingly, she's known as a prayer plant because her leaves droop at night and then rebound in the light. In my own life, I see this same science at work. The sunrise draws me out of bed each day. The noonday sun draws me outdoors, and the setting sun draws me away from my computer, compelling me to prepare for rest. While I sometimes resist this rhythm of light, I rejoice in knowing that it is a part of my fundamental nature to be drawn to the light of the sun and to the light of Christ. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage for today from John chapter 12, verses 31 through 36a. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus said to them, "The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of the light." And the moving forward question for this Saturday is, how does light play a role in your spiritual life? Now, as we near the end of the program and the end of this week, let's turn to Sunday, September 15th. It is the 17th day after Pentecost. It begins with a passage from Isaiah chapter 50, verse 8. "Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together." It takes determination to stand up for what you believe, and it requires courage to contend in the face of opposition. In our social and political climate, and in a democratic society where we have freedom of choice, there are always two or more sides to every issue. Who will I vote for in the coming election? Which ballot measure will I choose? For whom will I advocate, the rich or the poor, the landowners or the workers? Someone will be offended no matter which choice I make. Taking a stand implies someone will be against me and I them. I cannot escape this reality in a world of choice. But not choosing is a choice in itself, one that may mean unjust systems continue without change. When I'm inclined to take the path of least resistance, I find courage in those willing to stand. My moments of greatest joy and angst have been walking arm in arm with a group of people, singing protest songs, believing with all our hearts in a God who will not turn her back on those in need. And now I'm going to read the passage from Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 through 9a. "The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear, he to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me, who will declare me guilty. And the moving forward question for this Sunday is, who will you contend with today? And we have time for one more passage for this Sunday, September 15th. It is from the Epistle of James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make mistakes, many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships, though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire! And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species, but no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let us close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.